I don't like this business of preaching to fans.
Calm down, Greg. It's soccer. It's soccer.
You know anything else about soccer?
Not much. All I know is I got a lot of balls.
You know, it doesn't matter if you're in the stadium watching a game on TV. It's just the guy's not good enough. The guy is just not good enough.
Simon, I don't know if you're big into New Year's resolutions, but, you know, wondering if maybe you pledged to come out of your shell a little bit in 2015.
Kind of pisses me off, to be honest.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time Radio on MLSsoccer.com and SiriusXM FC Channel 94. I am Andrew Wiebe. With me, the guys, Simon Borgen, David Goss.
The gang's
feel
all
like,
here.
Yeah, the gang's the Three Stooges in the same spot.
Well, now that college basketball is over for both of you, yeah.
Well, it's not over for all everybody. Right. We actually had a lot of people email in and say, you know what, I'm okay with that. Simon's a curmudgeon and nobody likes him.
Well, but hey, you guys missed time on the show for your college basketball.
I didn't.
Teams.
I had jury duty on Monday. Jury duty on Monday.
Bring in the paperwork.
I will bring it in. I have 8 free years of nothing. Nothing. Well, actually, I would have actually liked to have some civic service to get away from Simon for a while, but just the one. I did sprain my ankle. I thought about not coming in to avoid you again, but I didn't want to subject Dave to that. Look,
it was very Cameron Porter of him, by the way. How he
it was, yeah. Did you actually
what
see
a show
it?
Solidarity.
Yeah, he like went up for a header and then just like it was on his own.
Yeah, and then I was down.
He walked off the field, left us with no subs to close out the game.
Yeah. You still got to stay on the field.
Just no,
you got to
no,
stay
no,
on
okay.
the field and man up and
no,
stay on the field.
I could
occupy
not run.
Space.
I could
occupy
not,
space.
We had another sub. A sub came in. There was a full strength team. Well, but like the U.S., Brooke Hatton failed to finish and drew 1-1. A terrible close out of the game from them.
Left you without subs or not?
Slubs?
We're all slubs. When
all right?
the sub came in for him, we had no more subs left.
Listening comprehension. Work on it, Simon.
We'll get there.
Two great guests on the show today. Of course, Minnesota United FC is the newest expansion team in MLS. They will join in 2017 or 2018. We'll have their current president, Nick Rogers, on to talk about what's going on with the team and resident Minnesota professional soccer extraordinaire, expert, I don't know what to call him, Du Nord, as many of you know him, Bruce McGuire. He will be on as well to talk about the fan side of things. Guys, here are the basic details. As I said, 2017 or 2018, it's kind of a flip-flop here, Commissioner Don Garber says, with LAFC. We don't know what's going to happen there. Dr. Bill McGuire is the guy who got all this together. He's kind of the majority owner. But you also have the Poleds who do the Twins. You also have the Timberwolves owner, some other folks in here, a very, very good group of owners. They look to have things on track. They're trying to get that downtown stadium built. A lot going on. Quick thoughts before we jump in to Mr. Rogers and see what he has to say about this whole process. Are you excited?
Yeah, because it looks like everything is in place. Here's the market with everything's in place, and they have lead up to work to. They're already in a good spot in terms of just overall attendance and buzz, and you hear about the club. And now, you know, that structure now gets to ramp up for 3 years.
It's exciting. I know some people from that market, and they're pretty excited about it. There's a decent soccer culture there already, and the stadium sounds like it's going to be in a good spot. So what's not to be excited about?
Yeah, nothing not to like. Let's go to Nick right now. Nick Rogers, the president of Minnesota United FC, _Nick_Rogers_. A lot of underscores there on his Twitter, but you can follow him there. Nick, how's it going? It's got to be a good day for you here.
It's a great day, guys. Yesterday was a historic day here in Minnesota for pro soccer. We're really excited about the MLS expansion news, and our phones have been just burning up. I think we've done more ticket sales in the past 2 days than in any 2-day period in the club's history.
Well, that's something for folks to remember out there. It's not like Minnesota United are going away. They've got a couple years in ASL to get going, maybe some championships to win before they come into MLS. Let's start at the beginning for you, though, Nick. I read a very interesting story about how this all went down. You have a unique connection to Dr. Bill McGuire, to the bid, of course, being the president, but there's more to it than that. How did Mr. McGuire get involved, and give us an idea of how you're involved?
Yeah, well, it's kind of a fun story. So back in, I guess, April 2012, I was an attorney in private practice. I guess I'm still an attorney, but I was working for a firm in downtown Minneapolis. And my wife at the time got an email from a guy named David Downs, who you guys might know, who in 2012 was commissioner of the North American Soccer League. David's daughter and my wife had a personal connection. They were roommates in college. And so David emailed my wife and said, hey, you know, we've got the league owns this team in Minnesota. It's called the Stars. I've taken meetings with anybody who would meet with me in Minneapolis, and I can't find somebody to take over ownership of the team. If you could introduce me to somebody, I'd be really, you know, really grateful. So, I, at the time, and I still am, a pretty big Liverpool supporter. And I've been a fan of pro soccer for a number of years. And so she forwarded that email to me. I forwarded it to her father, Dr. Bill McGuire. And I said, Bill, you know, we should go out to a few of these games and see what's going on up there. Because I hadn't even heard of the team, to be honest with you. I mean, as a league-run enterprise, they had very low budgets to do hardly, you know, everything. There was actually four people total running the team. And God, you know, God bless them. The thing was held together with duct tape and string for the most part. But they made do with what they had. And, you know, we went to some games that summer, and Bill got the bug. And, you know, over the course of the next 6 or 8 months, I was involved with brokering the deal that resulted in him taking over the team. I guess I resigned from the law firm in October or November of that year, and took over full-time management of the club at that time. And it's been a wild ride since then.
Now, Nick, when you guys took the club over, was the idea always MLS? You weren't just taking over a minor league club to try to keep it going. The idea was always MLS?
No. You know, at the time, the idea was to preserve something that, you know, we had seen when we had gone up there and watched the games. We saw that there was this group, the supporters group, that cared so deeply about what was going on. And, you know, I think Dr. McGuire started to appreciate pro soccer, you know, for really the athletic spectacle that it is. And he decided he wanted to just make sure it didn't go away. He didn't want to see the team contracted by the NASL and have 20 plus years of soccer in Minnesota come to an end. So we didn't really know a tremendous amount of about all the leagues when we got into it. And the idea was always very club focused. But at the end of the day, this is the opportunity that made the most sense for us, is to pursue the MLS.
So give us an idea of how all this goes down once actually MLS gets involved, because people that followed this process know that it wasn't just Minnesota United FC that were in play here. It was that, and then the Wilfs had a competing bid with their new Dome Stadium downtown. Why? It turns out that it seems to be it was all about the stadium. From your guys' point of view, what was your sell? What did you come to MLS and say, this is what we can do?
Yeah, well, I mean, we were in dialogue with people in MLS for, you know, some time, you know, prior to yesterday, obviously. You know, and the conversation was just about the vision that we had for the club and what was going to make professional soccer successful in this market. And we had learned a number of things in the relatively short time we've been running the club here. I think it was a combination of factors. I think one is we've got this great supporters group, the Dark Clouds, who you guys, you know, you have Bruce McGuire coming on right after me, and he can tell you more about them. But, you know, there's a really strong, creative, passionate group of fans up here, who are dedicated to sport. And the growth of that group over the past few years has really been great. I think you've also got a really impressive ownership group that Dr. McGuire has been able to assemble of, you know, established community leaders from Minnesota. These are people that live here, that work here, that donate their money here, and that are interested in seeing this community be as great as it can be. I hope somebody noticed the teams that Manny and myself have been able to put together and put out in the field. We think that we've demonstrated a bit of sort of soccer expertise. And finally, I think it was, you know, the big piece was the vision for a facility in downtown Minneapolis next to public transportation. I think that really was a compelling piece of the puzzle for us.
Where are you guys in the stadium process? Maybe can you let people know what the next few steps are, and is it possible to get this done by 2017?
2017, we'll find out. I think you're going to hear a lot more about the stadium and the process that's involved there in the coming weeks and months. We've really not been public with a lot of that, although we've certainly been working hard on it. That's going to come out soon, but it's a big task, as a number of teams in this market can tell you. There have been a number of stadiums built here in the past few years. The Vikings are obviously building a stadium right now. The Twins building is relatively new. And there's a minor league baseball park in St. Paul that just opened up. So, you know, these are big projects, and they take a lot of work. So I think in the next weeks and months, you'll see a lot more about what we're doing.
Now, on the team identity side, one of the things I was interested in and seeing during the press conference and also hearing Don Garber talk about afterwards with Bruce McGuire on his podcast, we'll talk to Bruce about that in just a bit, was the mark and the logo and the loon and these things that it seems like the U.S. soccer community really loves. It's not just Minneapolis. It's not just Minnesota. There's a lot of neutral people out there that look at what you guys have done in branding and say, wow, that's awesome. What's going to happen with that? Because the way Don Garber kind of posed it was, it's all in flux, and we're not sure exactly how it's going to go down. Is this going to be a team that continues to be defined by the loons in MLS?
You know, I if I was Don Garber, I'd probably say exactly the same thing. I mean, it's not a decision that has to be made yet. We're not going to be entering the league for a number of years. But look, you know, our position is we certainly want to keep the identity intact. We think we've done a great job of building a brand here in Minnesota that resonates with our fans. And it, you know, it's great to hear what you just said about other U.S. soccer fans admiring the logo and what it, you know, people respond to it, and we think that's great. You know, we've also taken a number of trips in the past few years during our preseason. Last year, we went to England, and we forged a good relationship with Derby County. We then played Swansea last year. The club just got back from a preseason trip to Brazil, where we played clubs like Botafogo and Vasco da Gama. So, you know, we've really been pushing the brand out there, not just in the United States, but, you know, hopefully in other countries and building those relationships. So, you know, for me, I would love to keep it all intact. You know, that said, there's a process that MLS has to onboard new clubs, and we'll go through that process. And I'm confident they'll make the right decision.
And Nick, now that you're looking at a period of 2, maybe 3 years here before you join MLS, what is the timeline now in terms of assembling the entire organization? And we're talking about youth academies. We're talking about maybe a USL club. What are the next steps in terms of just building out the infrastructure?
The next steps are, I mean, you know, there are two developmental academies already in Minnesota. So I think, you know, it's, and we have some relationship, not any kind of formal relationship, but we know the people involved in soccer in our community. You know, I think we have to start mapping that out and planning and budgeting and, you know, figuring out exactly what that looks like. You know, on the USL side, I mean, same thing. So, fortunately we do have a little bit of a runway here to sort of prepare for that. So I'd say we got to do it in the next 2 to 3 years and probably two. We got to be prepared for two.
And in the meantime, NASL through it all, you're going to stay part of that league?
Yeah, we're going to stay playing in the North American Soccer League, which, you know, we feel is a really great league. And, you know, the opportunity to be a part of MLS was one that ultimately was compelling for us. But we think the NASL has a great competition. And, you know, we look forward to building a team that will transition very smoothly into the ranks of Major League Soccer when the time comes. You know, we feel good about the team we have now. We have some real players. It was really interesting when we were in Brazil, you know, one of our newer signings, a guy named Ibsen, used to play for Flamengo, and the team went to a game at the Maracanã. It was Flamengo versus Vasco. And it was this unbelievable experience where the Flamengo fans were like mobbing him and worshiping him and wanting to take pictures. And the Vasco fans like literally wanted to tear him limb from limb to the point where we had to have security around him to protect him. So, this is a real player. He's played UEFA Champions League. He scored goals. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, obviously people now know about Miguel Ibarra. He's no longer a little secret here. But, you know, there's a number of really talented players now, and we look forward to building that roster as we get into, you know, closer to MLS.
April 25th, the opener for Minnesota United FC and NASL. You can check them out. Just signed a new deal with ESPN, I should say. The league did. So you can get some Minnesota action in the years leading up to the joining of MLS. President of the club, Nick Rogers, thank you so much for joining us here today, Nick. A lot of exciting stuff to come, and I'm sure that we will be bothering you in the years to come about the stadium, about the team, about everything else. Good luck.
Thanks very much. I look forward to it. And, yeah, people can visit us at mnunitedfc.com.
There you have it. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
Big thanks to Nick Rogers there. Building for 2017, maybe 2018. That's kind of the big news right now with this team is when it will happen and what will happen with that stadium situation.
We got to check out this guy, Ibsen.
Yeah, we do.
He came from France. He played Champions League in France. Because, like, sorry, Simon, some of us follow more than one team and more than one league. No, if you look at their
midfield. Who's your team in France?
David? Yeah, there you go.
Who's your team in France?
How's that spreadsheet going? I heard you're having a little bit of trouble.
I am. No, if you look at their midfield, it's really, really strong. Khalif Al-Hassan as well as Johnny Steeler.
Christian Ramirez is a guy that has scored a ton of goals for them in USL. Was he like best friends with Ibarra?
I think they're pretty close and they're both pretty talented.
I think we're going to have to tie Simon down to a chair and make him watch Miguel Ibarra for 90 minutes in NSL and then see how he reacts.
I would love to make bets with people to see today's roster of Minnesota United. Realistically, how many of those guys do you think will be around 2018?
Informal bet here.
I'd put
over under
of the squad in 2015. Mm-hmm. You might see three guys still on the roster.
Ooh, I'll double that. I'll say six.
Gonna say six. All right, we're gonna write this one down and figure it out. A guy will be paying a lot of attention.
And we did get a great tweet from Sven Bierman who says, "Now that we're MLS, can Simon Borg give love to Minnesota United during USMNT coverage?"
Well, we'll
find trash on Miguel Ibarra.
Yeah, we'll find out.
I don't
think
he's national team material.
He's an MLS.
All right. On to Bruce McGuire at Due Nord. I love to hear you guys banter, but you have nothing to say about Minnesota United. The fact is that Bruce does. He's been around for a long time. We're very happy to have him on the show. Bruce, what's up, man?
No complaints over here.
I can imagine. You've been looking forward to a day like this for a while. Of course, supporting Pro Soccer Minnesota in any form. Give us some background here, man. Let us know where you come from on the Minnesota soccer scene for those of you that don't know.
You know, I was lucky enough as a kid to have a neighbor that grew up in Germany as a soccer fanatic, and he took us to NASL games in the 70s. So I got to see the great Minnesota Kicks teams play against all those other great players from around the world. And I've been, you know, in firmly in that trench ever since. Even through those years when we didn't have much soccer and I didn't get to talk about it with people, it was still in my mind.
So now where do we stand? You know, you're getting an MLS team, 2017, 2018, a little bit of an unknown there. I have to imagine at this event yesterday that it got a little bit dusty maybe for you. Where do we stand now as far as the soccer culture there, and how did you kind of welcome this team in formally, so to speak?
Well, I think the most interesting part is that for year after year after year after year, we never knew if we were going to have a team the next year. We went through so many owners with, you know, supposedly money, but it turned out it was lint in their pockets. And then 2 years ago, we found a guy that actually had real money. And then he made the right moves. He said the right things, but he followed it up by doing the right things. And that's when you knew things were possible. And as soon as the idea of MLS came to them, I think they were hesitant at first because being in the second division, they kind of had free rein with not many rules on how to run a team. But when they noticed that the Minnesota Vikings, the NFL team here, were involved in possibly bringing in MLS, they said, well, I don't think there's place for two teams in this city. So if it's MLS or nothing, then let's go for MLS, but let's not just go for it. Let's make it our way. Let's do it the right way that we believe. And that's kind of what made yesterday amazing. I heard a quote this morning from Garber where he said that was one of the best and biggest launch events he had ever seen for MLS. And it was pretty remarkable there. I mean, the energy was incredible in that room, and it was very, very full, and it was a big space, and people just seemed to want it to happen more than they were there to see if it would happen. It was one of those kind of atmospheres.
So, Bruce, you who know the Minnesota soccer scene and know MLS very well, Minnesota will be like which current MLS market for those who don't know Minnesota, don't know the soccer culture there?
I think if you took the good parts of the early days of the Chicago Fire and added them to the latter days of Sporting Kansas City, I think that is a lot of the attitude and the atmosphere that you'll see here.
What kind of fans are we looking at, Bruce? Because living in Brooklyn, I was going to say from, but then I have two New Yorkers here that are going to jump down my throat. You know, he's talking about bikes, and he's talking about hip people, so to speak. What kind of fans are fans of the club now, and what do you envision in a couple of years as far as that fan base goes?
Well, maybe in some cities, and I really honestly don't mean this to demean Brooklyn, but nobody here is thought of or considered a hipster. Maybe the rest of the country sees them that way, but that's just the way everyone in Minneapolis has always been. When I grew up, I wanted to be in Minneapolis, and that was in the late 70s and early 80s. I couldn't wait to get here. I only went to college at the University of Minnesota because it was in Minneapolis. That was my whole goal, because I loved the music scene, the art scene, the community, the types of people, even through the horrible winters. There's a certain attitude that people are not here, they're not hipsters, they're Minneapolitans.
Bruce, do you have any affiliations with the official supporters group of Minnesota United?
Yes, I was one of the founders.
And so tell me, as one of the founders, is this now, as beginning today, is now this group going to take on more members than it's ever seen, beginning now? Or is it closer to the MLS?
How do you guys start to prep, for MLS and what's to come?
Well, when we started it 10 years ago, we didn't have any ideas or plans or nothing like that at all. We were just like-minded fans, and we just wanted to unify and do our thing. And it was almost started as a goof. I mean, the name is The Dark Clouds, and it's not because the people are negative and heavy and bad news and all that. It was a joke. It was a spoof. It was a, you know, let's kind of poke fun at the ultras and those kind of people and you know, the people who call themselves a firm and all that. And so jokingly, it was The Dark Clouds. It was a spoof because most of the people involved are pretty much the dead opposite of that. They're really just great, open, welcoming people. But as time has gone on, it's taken on its own form. And 3 years ago, it became a real official, you know, government acknowledged group. You know, you file all those forms, turn them into the government. Now you're a nonprofit of some sort. And it's just grown, you know, increasingly, pretty much doubled every year for the last 3 years. And I see no reason why that won't stop over the next 5 years.
So the last 24 hours, how's that been for you guys? People joining already?
Oh, yeah. No, without a doubt. It's. I think there was, and I'm not talking huge numbers here. This is not the Timbers Army or anything like that, but there was probably 100 new members.
There you go. That's a nice little bump after just one day. April 25th is the opener for NASL. Of course, you guys will be there, I'm sure, supporting this club as they continue pushing on in NASL and in MLS. Give me an idea, though, of what you think about this Farmers Market neighborhood and the proposed site, of the stadium. They're talking about building some light rail to get some public transit in there. For those of us who aren't familiar with Minneapolis, what is this location about? What could it be? What excites you?
It's basically the perfect, absolute perfect place to put it. The light rail currently stops one block from there, so it would just be the continuation of the next line they're going to build is going to go slightly to the west and then south, and the one after that is going to go slightly to the west and north, and it's right at the junction of those three. So it's the absolutely perfect place to put it. There's a lot of light industrial around there right now. There's a major freeway about a block away. It's one block from where the Minnesota Twins play. There's already bars and things in the neighborhood. There's housing in the neighborhood, but it's one of those neighborhoods that's changing and moving and growing. The ownership has already signed an agreement to purchase the land where they want to build it, so that's not really part of the issue. The piece of property is already there.
Bruce, when Minnesota United eventually does become part of MLS, your natural rival will be?
Well, we had rivalries for over a decade with Portland, Seattle, Vancouver, Montreal. Those were heated rivalries. So those are built in. Those are ready to go the minute our team step on the field. Our team has built a relationship with Kansas City over the years through the Open Cup. Last year even got a little ugly. So I have no idea what that could blossom into, but it seems totally natural. And Minnesota and Chicago, through all the sports they play against each other, have had a rivalry for decades and decades. So, you know, right there, to me, we have six right off the bat. We're ready to go with all of them.
That's a nice little group to pull from. Last one before we get chatted here. One of the big news items here is 2017 versus 2018 and what will happen with that whole thing. What do you want to happen? What do you think the fan side wants to happen in all this? I can't imagine it's wait an extra year, but maybe I'm wrong.
You know, I haven't taken a poll of my fellow fans, but the one thing that I personally would like to see is day one of MLS in that brand new stadium. You just look at what San Jose has gone through all these years of kind of torture. And last weekend was incredible at their new stadium. And while NYCFC and Orlando had great debuts this year, the ones in their own stadium are going to be much better and much more meaningful and much more long-term memory. And that's what I really want, honestly.
Is there any part of you that thinks it's kind of funny that the owner of the team, Dr. Bill McGuire and Bruce McGuire, are so close? Maybe that's just me trying to pull something out of a hat?
No, it's been a great joke in our family. My brother's name is Bill McGuire, so we've joked for years that my brother is a secret billionaire.
Well, there you go. Now they have their owner. You've got your no more lint in the pocket, so to speak. Minnesota United headed MLS. Bruce McGuire will be right there with him. You can catch him on Twitter at DoNord. Also, real quick, there's a place to get news now on all this Minnesota stuff, Bruce. A centralized location. Real quick, what's that at? The Northern Lights, Northern Pitch?
Northern Pitch is an awesome new website that a bunch of us who have been writing about soccer for a long time all put our brains together into one pot, and now we have a full brain rather than all these little portions of brains. We have an actual brain, and it's called northernpitch.com, and man, it's been a great success from day one. It's been really great.
Awesome. Go check it out there if you want your news. Bruce McGuire, big thanks, man. Enjoy the next couple years. I'm sure we'll be talking to you more.
I love talking to you guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Bruce.
So much, Bruce. Well, by that math, I think we have half a brain here on Extra Time Radio.
Well, especially
half
you.
Half a brain from... How about knowing the website
before you ask them about it?
Half a brain from Dave, half a brain from me, and negative half brain from you brings us to half a brain. Real quick, thoughts before we get out of here, guys. It sounds like, based on Bruce's words here, and I trust him, he's been there for a long time, he's been supporting pro soccer for a long time, that there's perhaps something very, very special brewing up there in the Twin Cities.
And the fact that they have now 2 up to 3 years to build this, tell me if I'm wrong, but I don't think there's been an MLS club in that same situation. Montreal, I don't think they had that much lead time when they joined. Same for Seattle and Portland. I think the turnaround between the time they joined and then when they actually were part of the league was really brief.
I mean,
it was
now,
briefer than it is with this.
Yeah, and Atlanta and LA don't have the structure of a team already to build around. It sounds like, I mean, sometimes they get 8,000-9,000 at their games mm-hmm. already. So they have that to build from now. They're going to move downtown. Just from, I mean, first of all, he was a very funny guy. He was enjoyable to listen to talk. But the way he makes the fans sound, it sounds really exciting. The rivalries that they already have brewing. And the idea of now, you know, the geographical map of MLS being that extra area, mm-hmm. the rivalry with Chicago, it sounds really, really exciting.
And this isn't just some team. This is almost like an Orlando City situation where this team is probably competing with the Cosmos, I would guess, to be the best team in NASL. They won the equivalent of the Supporters' Shield last year. They've got Ibarra. They've got a guy in the national team. They've got some, you know, some international recognition from what he's saying going around. We'll see what happens in Minnesota. Let us know what you think at Extra Time Radio, extratime@mlssoccer.com. When we come back, half a brain to break down the U.S. men's national team and MLS action.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime@mlssoccer.com or tweet at Extra Time Radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Hey guys, this is Justin Mann with the Columbus Crew, also with the Iraq National Team, and you guys are listening to Extra Time Radio.
Back now on Extra Time Radio. You're listening to the very fine, quote-unquote, Danish pop music mix, Simon Borg's contribution to this show. Remember what I said about half brains?
It's one of my playlists.
Is this on your Spotify?
This is on his brain-building playlist.
You know,
this is his
Call
study
Me Maybe
playlist.
And this is his
I
design.
Know for sure that we have Danish listeners
okay.
who listen to this show.
Sure.
Who they probably know, have better music than this.
They will know that Scoop Till Target means slide to the roof.
That is what Scoop Till Schlagen, okay?
No, what? Scoop Till Target.
Okay, I'm not even going to try.
I like that Simon assumes he's saying it right.
Yeah.
Like there's this weird assumption that Simon speaks Maltese, so therefore he knows how to pronounce.
Wait till the Danish listener chimes.
Look, his pronunciation skills are known far and wide.
The guy just said it on the song. You want to play it some more?
Scoop.
Get it to us again?
I don't know if it's
Yeah, look, here's the deal. Here's what we're listening to, this silly Danish pop music. The U.S. 3-2 losers.
Because we'd all rather be Danish today.
Let's be honest.
I mean, you would rather.
On the game?
David, who's a big U.S. national team fan, would probably rather be a Danish national
Not
team
really.
Fan.
Not really.
No, I don't know where that
Not
came
after
from.
After they're defending on those first
can
two
Can I just
goals.
Give the result? You know, 3-2. Nicholas Bittner, the best player in the world, according to Nicholas
best
Bittner.
Best striker in the world.
No, best player in the world, according to Nicholas
Bittner.
Did he
say player?
No, I don't know, but I assume.
I think
that's
he
what
says best striker.
A hat trick for him. The U.S. once again falling short at the end. They had a 2-1 lead. Going into the final stretch, shall we say, the last 10 minutes, and they gave one up, and I think the 83rd, then the 91st.
91st was the last
one. Yeah, tough stretch for them there. Some questionable defending, shall we say. from the U.S., kind of a mishmash roster from Jurgen Klinsmann. Simon, you wish you were Danish on this day instead of Maltese. Why is that?
I don't wish I was Danish. I do wish Christian Eriksen was American. That would be fun.
Yeah, that would be sweet.
Oh, come on. He's what? Overrated. Nice. That is just you going off of his Premier League Tottenham stuff. Because during the game, what did he do?
He had the assist on the third goal.
Oh, wonderful.
So we can start there.
Okay. Start at the last play of the game.
So
okay.
He had more possession.
You know, the play of the game that determined result of the game.
I think he probably had more passes completed than anyone on the U.S. national team in that game. And I don't think his team played that well. I think he individually is a great player. He's also a great set piece taker, which could be useful to the United States national team right now.
He's too slow. He doesn't.
Okay, look. Why should U.S. fans want to be Danish on this day, Simon? Why do you say that?
Well, I mean, they had more possession. They had more idea of what they're doing. They were more established. I think so many other players are there. Bentner's been – he's in the mix for so long. And Altidore is as well, the counterpart on the U.S. But I just think the mishmash of players and the constant – that was a U.S. team to me that didn't have clear ideas on movements, on organization, and in spirit. It's just you looked at the team and they were just there. And it just wasn't coordinated effort, and it's just another disappointing result to me by the U.S., and it's now a string of several. I mean, are we counting? How many games has it been, David?
Well, so that's the question is this conversation right now is, I think, the same conversation we've had for the last six
months. Yeah, we're having a hard time getting away from it, aren't we?
So what did anything to you guys change yesterday? Did you see anything different?
No, you can't even point to a spell of the game where you're like, you know what?
That's good.
They're doing it, you know? The two goals were lucky by Altidore. Yeah. Lucky in that he made it happen.
Right. I disagree because I think the one nice thing was that Bradley sat a little deeper in the second
goal
was a result of that.
The one thing that you do like to see is that Bradley looks to be deeper, like you said. And it's not about being deeper in any defensive sense because he's pushing that whole time. He's like the key of the pressure. They tried to press high and they usually got broken.
The second goal was nice.
But look, it's the fact that we're starting to realize, or Jurgen is starting to realize, that his best position is as kind of like, I almost want to call him a deep ball quarterback. You know he throws that deep ball well. If you give him time to sit back in the pocket and survey the field, he's going to find the runner. And I don't know that he's kind of a dink and dunk player when it comes to creating chances up the field. He's not going to be the guy with the quick combinations a la Xavi or maybe an Iniesta up top. But he's a guy that if you get him the ball in space, he's going to pick out Altidore running over the top diagonally, and he's going to find him with the ball.
To me, with Bradley, he just can't be locked into a space in the midfield.
Yep.
He's a midfielder. He's got to roam where he is, got to use his tactical sense and be where he needs to be, knock the passes that he needs to be to knock. Because, I mean, in the first half, he was pushed up a lot.
Alejandro Bedoya kind of playing that number six, which was a change from what we've seen in the past, Bedoya being more of a winger.
And I think a lot of people expected him to be out on the left. And Fabian Johnson was invisible, like invisible. Couldn't even tell he was in the game. Except for on the first goal, he got beat by his man before the interchange happened that led to the first goal.
He and Garza had some trouble with Viba there on the right.
Garza didn't look good. Let's be honest, though. You guys have been big Garza fans.
Yeah.
He is not a defensive left back. I don't think anybody has come out and said, look, this guy is going to be defensively.
What did he do in the offensive end in this game?
Nothing. They didn't do anything in this game. Yeah. Look, nobody did anything.
I've never seen him do anything in an offensive respect in any
That's
US
not
game.
True, yeah, but we can move on from that. The other side, I thought Timothy Chandler was terrible. I hate to use that word.
Keeps getting chances and keeps seeing that a whole lot.
Not a lot of communication, not a lot of movement off the ball from him. Zardes looked lost as well, and I don't know.
A lot of turnovers from Zardes. He seemed like a black hole of possession.
So when you have players all looking out of sorts on your team, what does that point to?
Yeah.
Well, I think part of it is it's always going to be tough in these friendlies where you don't have a lot of guys from one half. In the Mexico game, it's going to look similar potentially because you don't have the European guys, but you do have the MLS guys. So you kind of have half your starting team. So it's going to look a little mismatched because of that reason.
But couldn't he have had the MLS guys? Why couldn't he have had them?
I think that there's an element of he's going to call them up for the Mexico game, and that's here. So why bring them all the way? Why bring all of them all the way to Europe when he can look at guys there and then look at them here in the U.S.?
But David, who, when you look at the group, who has been away for, or who's the newbie? Because all those guys they've played with each other now for years.
But he came in late.
He came in late. He was just a sub. Yeah. But I'm talking about the players who took the field. They all know each other. Johansson, Altidore, Bradley, Bedoya. They've been playing together for a long time.
That's
so true. To me, there's the excuse is now I can't find them. Chandler's been in the mix for a while. Fabian Johnson as well. These are people, Brooks, they've been around now for a while where going into a game, you should know what you're doing. And the team looks lost. And look, everyone's going to go now about talking about the collapse and another collapse and how you, that's not supposed to happen. We saw the Benny Failhaber tweet, ex-U.S. national teamer Benny Failhaber. Mm-hmm. I say ex, it's just recently. And he said, we used to be good at doing this, closing out games, and now we're not. And, you know, you'd like to see the organization of the team and the tactical discipline and the spirit in that set, in that scenario. You're up 2-1 on the road in Denmark. You want to see that team come together and now battle. You didn't see it. Mm-mm. They were just doing their thing.
Going through the motions.
One thing that I took from this game, and I know there were mistakes at the end, was I thought John Anthony Brooks looked very good. I thought he looked intimidating. I thought he made a couple big tackles in the open field. He can't organize the back line, but I don't think a lot of 21-year-olds can organize a back line. Yep. And I don't think a lot can with guys that they don't really know well. Orozco Fiscal has played right back for Puebla this entire season. So now you're putting him at center back. We talked about Chandler. We talked about Garza. I think if you put him next to a Beisler and you gave him Garza on his left and someone a little bit more solid on the right, who they're more used to, I think it would have been a much better performance.
Orozco is not an international defender.
I don't think Beisler Brooks works either, because Beisler's almost certainly a left-sided center back as well. So you're looking at maybe like Jeff Cameron and Omar Gonzalez.
But that's – a lot of people say that every once in a while. If you're a center back, you're a center back. Play left or right. You barely ever on that foot. And you should be able to use both feet to the extent where you're passing out of the back.
I don't know. Klinsmann has shown a desire to play those guys in the position where they're most comfortable with those feet. Like, it was a disappointing result. There's no doubt about that. We continue to see the same problems. Maybe this one's not fitness. Probably not. But for some reason or other, the U.S. can't close out games. Let us know what you think. Why is that? At Extra Time Radio. Extra Time at MLSsoccer.com. Of course, plenty to talk about in MLS as well, despite all those international call-ups probably gutting your fantasy team. We'll talk about that a little bit in the mailbag. But let's start out on Saturday, guys. NYCFC Sporting Kansas City, the second ever New York City FC home game. This one's 7 p.m. Eastern on MLS Live. And Frank Lampard, Uncle Frank, is apparently going to be in the house.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Is that what we're calling
I don't know.
Him?
I've just decided Uncle Frank, I think.
Why?
Like, he's like an older guy, and he's, you know, he's coming in to help. I don't know.
Super Frank.
Do you have
Lampard.
An Uncle Frank?
I don't have an Uncle Frank. I have an Uncle David. But
I've
no
never
Frank.
Called any of my uncles uncles. It just feels weird. I just call
him when
by
I was
first
a kid,
name.
I called him Uncle David, but now it's David. But look, Uncle Frank's in the house. Do you have to impress if you're NYCFC? Are you looking up there at the owner's box and saying, Frank's watching us. We got to do this. We got to make sure we show him that we're a good side.
I think NYCFC is going to do their best to maybe not draw attention to the fact that he's there.
The players or the club?
The club. So I don't think you'll see him on the scoreboard or the Diamond Vision.
He definitely won't be in the scoreboard. A, it doesn't exist. B, he won't play.
So I don't think I'd be curious to see if we see him on the broadcast.
Yeah.
I think you're definitely going to see him.
You think you're going to see him?
Yeah,
there's no way you don't see him, because he's a draw and he's a major part of this, and they haven't had him there, and to show that he's there is a big deal. I mean, Jason Christ keeps saying it's so great. He's coming over, he's making the time, and it's like, well, obviously he's making the time. He plays for the team. It's his job. But for some reason, Jason Christ keeps saying it's so great, he's coming over. I think that he's going to be shown.
Now, will the team put on a good show for him? Mm-hmm. They're missing a couple guys. Nemec, their starting forward, is out. Kyrie Shelton, who's been a big spark off the bench for them, is out with a call-up, USU 23. So it's going to be – I think Kansas City might be in a position where they go in and face a team in New York City FC that came off a really lethargic showing in Colorado. Maybe surprises them a little.
Yeah, Kansas City needs a result here. They had a 0-0 draw against Portland at home the last time out. Struggling to figure it out on the attacking side of the ball. Speaking of Portland, they have their first Cascadia clash coming up. That also on Saturday. You have to do a little picking and choosing here. It's at 8 p.m. Eastern on MLS Live. If you're in Canada, it's also on TSN1. That's because they're playing the Whitecaps. Cascadia.
Sold out.
Yeah, sold out. Should be a great game. Vancouver pushing on. Portland, kind of the same as Kansas City, but we knew that they would probably struggle off the bat with no Diego Valeri, no Will Johnson. So who's this game more important for? Vancouver's in a good place.
Yeah,
they've been winning games.
Place.
They've been winning games late. It hasn't been the most impressive of performances, but they've got Octavio Rivero being the Octavio Rivero that I think we all hoped we would see after a great preseason. Who's got more at stake? Because it is a home game for Vancouver.
If Vancouver drops points here, it's tough, because that would mean that they drop points. They lost their only home game. Yeah, they went on the road and got two wins, but one was against a Chicago team that hasn't picked up mm-hmm. a point yet. And the other one was away at Orlando on the 96th minute, which wasn't convincing. They haven't had a convincing 90 minutes yet. They played phenomenal in the first 45 minutes of the first game. And since then, I don't think they've played that great. So without Kakuta Mane as well, who's suspended because of a tackle in the last game.
What do you think of that tackle, Simon? Because that tackle was horrendous.
It was horrendous, and it's a just suspension. But I wonder, you're taking injury, potential injury. No, you're taking injury as part of the equation, in the equation here, because had he gone and made contact and done some damage to Kalen, you wonder what the suspension would have been at that point.
You would have assumed it would have also been a red card on the field if that had happened.
Yeah, definitely. The other thing from this game that I thought was really interesting, and you caught it in instant replay, was Diego Rodriguez, also on Kalen, got a little grabby, so to speak, right out of the Clint Dempsey handbook of groin grabs. So I was a little surprised that he didn't see a little bit of disciplinary committee stuff on that one. But he will be around. Looks like he'll probably start for Vancouver. No Pablo Ducat, who is Simon's bar none favorite player in MLS. Check that one out. 8 p.m. MLS Live. TSN 1 also finishing the night off. FC Dallas and Seattle. And, of course, this one loses a little bit of its luster because you don't have the likes of Blas Perez. You don't have the likes of Clint Dempsey. But still, a good game for FCD. We're talking about proving things. Seemed 2 years in a row, they're the best team in the league to start the year. What can they actually prove here without Dempsey in line? I mean, I know they have Oba, but it's that combo that really makes them special.
If you're a Dallas fan, you're not sure that Seattle necessarily are better than you, because coming off the playoffs last year, remember, goal difference is what they needed. So I think you're a Dallas fan, and you're Dallas, you're going in with a lot of confidence, not only because they're missing Dempsey, and Dempsey is so important. Here, to me, here is where it gets interesting to see Obafemi Martins alone, and I made this contention. David, you disagree.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that Obafemi Martins alone is so limited. When he has Dempsey with him, much more active, and he's much more dangerous. But without that the partner that works well with him, and Dempsey is that guy, I think Obafemi struggles.
How did you do without Jesmyn?
And it was rough. You can't, like, you're a lost soul. You're trying to
find
someone
to connect
with.
Were you Oba or Clint in the Simon
Dempsey.
Jesmyn?
I was definitely Dempsey.
Definitely
I would
Dempsey.
Try more stuff.
Yeah, that
try
that
more stuff.
Sense.
A little more groin grabs.
Yeah, pushing people in mud.
Pushing people into the puddles.
So who do they go to without Clint?
Well, I mean, in some way, it's probably going to be either Kenny Cooper or Lamar Nagel that gets minutes, whether it's in a 4-3-3, however they try and rework it. They're hamstrung because of Ozzie Alonso. They don't have someone who can cover all of that ground that they can leave themselves a little bit open. Maybe in a 4-3-3, it's a little bit more susceptible. But early last year, that's what they played before Dempsey was there. And I have said that I think Obafemi Martins deserved the MVP last year because of the way he carried them when Dempsey wasn't there.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens. The other thing to watch out for is Mario Diaz. I know that Dallas is playing really well, but he still hasn't hit form.
Yep, I am mulling dropping him in fantasy
for
sure.
I did it. I pulled the trigger.
I might have to do it. He's a little overpriced.
I think people maybe still don't buy into Dallas. You beat Seattle in this kind of setting this early in the season, and I know people will make excuses and say, oh, Dempsey's not there, but I think it will go a long way towards really solidifying Dallas's place in people's
And Ryan lives. Hollings had mentioned it on this show on Monday that because of the past where they've had great starts and then struggled later, that's going to be the question with them. It's not going to be the start. It's going to be those middle months. Can they continue?
Can you keep it going? Can you do it in the heat of summer? On Sunday, that doubleheader, Soccer Sunday, Chicago-Philly starts it off on ESPN2 at 5 p.m. Eastern. Second but not least, Real Salt Lake against Toronto FC at 7 on Fox Sports 1. Which of these matchups gets you going the most, guys? Because Toronto FC missing Josie Altidore and Michael Bradley, so all of a sudden you've got some star power gone from there. Who will Jovinko feed? RSL, they're not losing a ton out of this one, but they're struggling right now. And then Chicago, Philly, both these teams scuffling.
Because of pure desperation, I like the Chicago-Philadelphia matchup. I think both teams are going to be like, you can't afford another loss, because then the pressure really starts to ratchet up. So I like that game.
Something that makes it fun is if they win and Harry Shipp plays well while Sean Maloney's away in international, that could start a lot of questions of
Alexi Lawless
who plays where. Yeah,
over and over and over last week saying Harry Shipp's the best player on the field for Chicago. He deserves better. Sean Maloney, is he entering flop territory, or is it just way too soon?
So the article came out today about the DPs, players in MLS, and the former DPs, and you look at the list for Chicago, and there are a lot of really bad names on there.
Nery Castillo, I remember.
McDonald.
Yeah.
Pupo.
Yeah,
wasn't Pupo a DP?
Yeah, yeah, uh-huh. Federico Pupo, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so you just hope – I think Akam is really talented. We just
I
haven't
do.
Seen
I
him
do
yet.
Too.
And he's gone for Ghana, which Frank Yallop was not happy about at all. And Igbona Nike, the comments out of Frank Yallop were kind of like he's already moving on from it, is what I felt like.
What comments?
Him saying, if guys don't work out, we give them a couple months, but you already know, so in the summer, you start looking. which is not exactly a, it'll work.
Right,
we're just
right.
waiting for it.
Right. We got plan B rolling, I guess is what he's saying. All right. RSL Toronto FC, what sticks out for you there, Simon?
It, to me, it's Real Salt Lake, another chance to show this experiment that they have. How far is it coming along? They're a team that at home, they're different. And with the crowd and the energy they have behind them, Toronto missing a couple players. I think it's a good opportunity for Real Salt Lake to get a win that they can build off of here and say, you know what, we're on the right track.
Kassar said, you know, look, this 4-3-3 is really going to take off once we get Joe Plata back. And, of course, he'll play that left wing for them. But in the meantime, would you entertain thinking about going back to that diamond? I mean, you heard Beckerman at the beginning of the season saying, like, man, we had something that worked that we knew, and now for some reason we're going away from it. Would you entertain at all the thought of, you know, almost just stopgap, just saying, you know what, we got to get some results. Jao will be back. We'll figure it out when he gets back. Or do you once you've got this foundation, do you have to just roll with it?
I like the idea of the 4-3-3 for that team. You know, the diamond.
Does it help the talent that's there is the question. You have – you're missing Plata, so who are your stars? And right now it's Beckerman, it's Gil, and it's Morales. So Gil has to be pushed out wide in the 4-4-2.
Yeah,
not out wide
as a shuttler. But in the diamond, you know, if you, then you have Mulholland maybe on the right side, and those guys tuck a lot, and you get around back on them. And, you know, maybe it's not the ideal position for Lee Skill, but it's maybe for your team it is.
Yeah, I think either way you're going to struggle without Plata. And so I think you push through with this formation, if this is what you believe in, and you have it really set up to go when he does come back, and you got to pick up points at home while you're waiting.
Well, there you go. Let us know what you think. All the TV listings, www.mlssoccer.com/TVMLSLive. I will be all over that this weekend. And make sure to get your fantasy team set up. The deadline is on Saturday ahead of that 3 p.m. game. So get the lineups in, get all that going. We'll talk about that in the mailbag. We'll be right back.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime@mlssoccer.com or tweet at Extratime Radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Hi there, it's Sean Maloney here from Chicago Fire, and you're listening to Extratime Radio.
Yeah. Oh, you already know what we gonna do.
Hey. Back now on Extra Time Radio with the guys Simon Borg and David Goss. I am Andrew Wiebe, and the conundrum I have here, Dave, this is Strange Clouds. This is why we're playing it, just so you know out there. But why do rappers always laugh at the beginning of their songs? Like something funny is coming up.
Listen.
Swagger. Show of swagger.
You think it's a show of swagger? Yeah. I think it's because they think it's funny that people are about to pay to listen to what they're about to
really?
Say.
Really? I was just wondering if I should start laughing at the beginning of segments, like right when the intro music comes in, just like, ha-ha! You know, a little bit of
a little
flavor.
You kind of do something similar.
Do
when
I?
You go, oh, welcome everyone.
Okay. But it's not
radio.
That. It's not that. There's not that much.
That's more of a let's get ready to rumble type thing.
Yeah. I was going to go the full hog there. But you know, let's jump into the mailbag. Dave, take it away.
Well, of course, fantasy. Revving up. Don't forget, check your teams because you got international call-ups, injuries, suspensions, a lot going on this
starting
weekend.
Lineup. Yeah, check that. It's coming out here late on Thursday, I think, if you like to watch me in video form talk about fantasy. I know you probably
which
don't.
I think is a lot what a lot of people are trying to do on their
free
time.
It makes fantasy fun. Like, I don't want to hear complaining now. Oh, this guy's not here and this guy's not there. I mean, first off, the clubs knew what the calendar was so they could figure out what the roster should look like so that, you know, if you don't want to be hurt by it. There are other leagues in the world who are playing through international FIFA dates. I think it's fine. Like, I don't want my club – I've been on the record. I don't want my club soccer to go away because of international weekends. Growing up, that's the – internet. I hated international weekends because my club soccer disappeared, and that is BS, and I don't want that to happen.
So – in case you were in the mood for a rant from Simon Borg, it turns out we got a little free one in there, yeah. Which was a little unexpected. So this week in fantasy matchups, Andrew's playing Astro Header. Simon the Borgata is facing off against Antfield. And
I'll crush those ants.
Paul Gaillet is his name. And I'm facing off against a team called Tunnel Vision FC by Francois Turcotte.
The best thing about ants is when you try to crush them like that.
Yeah, what are they going
to
do?
A couple die, but the rest like fake it, and then they come back and eat you. Right. So watch out. Watch out. These are special Maltese ants.
And in our classic league, Scott Utterson of FC Encino is leading right
now. Yeah, Scott was begging for a shout-out. There you go, Scott.
So there it is, and that's what you get. So now let's move on to our emails. We have an email here from Jeremy, and it's about Xavi, of course. What else? And he says, do you think he would fit in NYCFC? And if he is actually going to Qatar, which is the rumor that's come out today, do you think it's because it was the better offer? Did NYCFC never really push to
I was reading in the rumor mill, of course, that it was like 10 million a year, euros, to go to Qatar. I mean, that's hard to say no to. And Jason Christ kind of played this thing down. He came out his press conference and said, he's like, look, we have two 30-plus-year-old designated players, so maybe it just doesn't fit with us. Maybe it doesn't fit with our system.
I wonder if they knew if that was spin doctoring and PR from Jason Christ. If
a little
so
public
brilliant.
Negotiation? Yeah.
If so brilliant. Oh, no, not public negotiations. Okay, if they knew that Xavi was now taking this other offer.
Oh, okay.
So he gets out ahead of it.
So you distance yourself
exactly.
Early. Yeah, okay.
Do you think he would have fit? Do you think it would have been a good...
You need to develop more of a cynical mind there.
Do you think it would have been a good signing, though, for this NYCFC squad?
No.
Yeah, I agree with Simon. I don't think it would have been a – it's not a bad signing when you get Xavi. That's never a bad thing. But I don't know if when you're building an MLS team that you can just have players that maybe don't fit the right way. And I don't know that he fits exactly with what they're doing, especially on the age front. You'd think they're trying to build a little bit longer term with that third designated player. You figure Villa's got a few years, Lampard probably too, but you don't.
I believe in MLS you need someone more mobile than Xavi. It's just, I don't think he works.
Yeah, okay. So
he needs the rest of the team around him to do what he does right? I mean, like, if the rest of the team can't hold the ball and play at the pace he wants to.
You're essentially building your team around
Xavi.
You
have to.
Do you really want to do that if you're NYCFC?
Yeah, it's tough.
So let's move on to
the
next.
Tell us your opinion.
I would say the one thing about him is he is a genius of soccer. But moving on. Oh. Josh Gehring emailed in. He said he believes that there are two teams this year that found that last missing piece for the playoffs. It's Kai Kamara in Columbus and Octavio Rivera in the Whitecaps. Do you guys agree? Do you think that those are the two key pieces that have come in this summer? And do you think that those teams are ready to go to MLS Cup?
Octavio Rivera for sure. Mm-hmm. Kai Kamara still
waiting. Yeah. Still waiting. It's just too many times now that he hasn't finished great chances. He's going to get those opportunities. He did it with Kansas City. He did it before that, actually. But it's always just kind of been, is he the guy that you want finishing them? I think in the air, he's one of the best in MLS. Now we got to see if he does it consistently for him.
And the question is, if he finishes at a low rate, but they get so many opportunities, mm-hmm. it may not matter.
Yeah, he's going to set up for other people, too. His hold-up play is very, very good. Watch out for him, though. I was about to pick him up in fantasy. Bye weeks. Bye weeks, folks. Just because they have a DGW coming up doesn't mean you have to have him.
Whoa. DGW. Double game week, pal.
Double game week. Hey, that's all for us here on this Thursday. Big thanks to our guests, Minnesota United President Nick Rogers, Bruce McGuire, Du Nord, as many of you know him. Very excited for that club. Very excited to hear what those guys had to say. Make sure you catch all the MLS action this weekend. We will be back on Monday. Dave won't, but we will. We'll see you around next time.